Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Single most honest answer of the week at Super Bowl Media Day.
Hey, I'm just here so I won't get fined.
You got that right. Marshawn Lynch, he gets it. I don't want to be fined, so I'm going to just sit here for 1 hour and waste your time.
By the way, the best question of that 3.5 minute interview was, well, basically, do you think you're going to get fined if you don't answer, by not answering any of our questions, are you going to get fined?
I'm just here so I won't get fined.
Okay, thank you very much.
It's a game.
I think he should get fined. I'd like to see exactly how it's written in the player's agreement, in the contract. Does it say that they have to show up for media day?
It's a very good question. That's a very good point you're making.
I mean, if it says they have to show up for media day, then he has fulfilled his obligation. If they say you have to show up and answer questions for media day, then technically he has violated it because he didn't answer the questions.
Well, last year, he showed up and was about 20 or 25 feet from me. As you recall, last year, I was at Super Bowl Media Day.
I do.
I wish we...
He didn't take me, but, it was nice of you to be there. Just kidding.
Well, we aired a lot of it last year, remember?
We did.
We aired a lot of it. The Arizona thing may have been a little too far away.
Just not quite in the budget.
So, and he came out and was maybe 18 inches onto the floor. And it was right at the end. Right at the end.
What is it that he said last year? I don't remember what he said last year.
I don't think he said anything last year.
No, I thought he did have a reoccurring answer for everything, but I didn't. I don't remember what it was. I just want to be a good teammate.
No, that was Arian Foster.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't a part of it. Like I said, he was 20 to 25 feet from me because I was at Michael Robinson's cubicle, and he was in cubicle 16 out of 18. So that's how, and just beyond 18 is where he came out, just in front of the offensive bullpen. So he's in between cubicle 18 and the offensive bullpen. So, I mean, I was close to where he was. I was like, what the heck? And they're all like, I said, well, check out the commotion there. And I wasn't going to, you know me, I'm not going to be a part of that. When you go to these things, you have to have some sort of game plan. Everybody has their own agenda as to what they want to do and accomplish at it, which I do appreciate, by the way. So, in other words, guy I worked with years ago, I ran into him at this. And he is now working for a Christian radio network. Well, he had a list of players on there that that are always willing to talk about their faith. So he had that list and a series of faith-based questions that he needed to ask them. Well, okay, well, I mean, that's what you need out of them. You've got an hour, that's fine. I told you the Hank Azaria story, right?
I believe so, but I don't know if we were actually. I think you and I were just talking when you told me that story.
Yeah, the last year, I can't remember which player I'm around at this point. It may have been Cam Chancellor. It was in the secondary group. They have four primary booths. One is always the head coach. One is always the quarterback, and then two other players. So it was John Fox. It was Peyton Manning. It was Champ Bailey. Maybe it was just three primaries. No, it was four. There was a fourth one there. I can't remember. And then the Seahawks had Pete Carroll. To his right was Russell Wilson. To his left was Richard Sherman. And then they have other booths set up. And then they have the bullpens, the extra guys. Jordan Hill last year was a healthy scratch. This year, Jordan Hill and Gary Gilliam would both be in, you know, Gilliam would be in the offensive bullpen, and Hill would be in the defensive bullpen because this, you know, as badly as they want Jordan Hill to play, he can't play in the game. He's out. And so in that secondary group, Earl Thomas, I mean, Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor were side by side. And Hank Azaria comes over. I look over and, okay. And he was doing, it was a comedy-based TV network that he was doing this for. So he's asking a series of, you know, ridiculous questions, but, and he had them written down. Well, I mean, that was his gig. That's what he was trying to do. I appreciate that. Like, there are only, you know, you have an hour. There are only so many football questions you can ask. There really are. There's only so many you can ask. I mean, how in-depth do you expect Tom Brady to get about Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas and Richard Sherman and Bobby Wagner and Bobby Averill and people like that, or Cliff Averill and people like that?
Well, that's why you get that's why you get questions like this.
Best dancer on the squad? Oh, I mean, since I'm like the only one who really whips out my dance moves, I gotta go with myself.
Worst and best dancer? Yeah, that's Rob Gronkowski of the Patriots on the best and worst dancer on the team.
Well, unfortunately, that was not a good question for him to handle because that was the heavy criticism of him after the last Super Bowl they played in. Remember, he was hurt, banged up, and was out on the dance floor that night in Indianapolis.
You know, though, Steve, in fairness, Marshawn Lynch did have one other statement that came out of his 3.5-minute session.
You better make more with your time. You only got 3 more minutes.
That was the only other thing that came out of it.
Oh, boy.
You better make the most of your time. You only have 3 more minutes.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm here so I won't get fined, boss.
Yeah, nothing like it.
I would love to see how that little line in the Super Bowl agreement is worked out, because I'm not sure if "I'm just here so I won't get fined" answers the question, do you feel as though you have a chance to win this game? Or a question along that line. I mean, there are some answers that I think, or some questions that I think he could have answered, "I'm just here so I won't get fined." When asked, though, if he thought he would get fined if he didn't answer a question basically correctly, his answer was, "I'm just here so I won't get fined." So, I again, it's a fine line he dances.
Eh. You know what?
But let's face it, his comments are much more interesting than Richard Sherman saying facing Brady will be fun.
I know. I
hate
I was
to admit
but... Yeah, but I was selective as to what I did last year in terms of what I put on the show, you know. And we had everybody on it from the thing last year because there's some meaningful stuff that, you know, they talk about. And it's all basic stuff. I mean, there's not all the football. Like I said, you don't get many great answers anymore. You get very few insightful answers anymore to anything because everything is so guarded. When you do this, yeah, I have to do, you know, what, 13, 14 pregame shows a year for football. I've got to do 30 plus pregame, postgame shows a year for basketball. And you do try to come up with things that are different and different topics to discuss and a little bit more in depth and so forth. But there's also a limit to that. Where, you know, for example, how many times this year does James Franklin have to answer questions about the offensive line and the progress they're making? Well, I mean, you know, And part of what, and part of it too, is that, for example, I do the pregame show with him. Well, I'm the last person during the course of the week that gets a chance to talk with them or do an interview with them. So they've been asked almost everything during the course of the week. So you do try to come up with something that is a bit different. And I have not found that to be difficult, because when you're around it enough, there are enough other things you can talk about and can bring up. Beyond the what's asked in a 30-minute session here, a 10-minute session there, a quarterback club, things like that. You know, and then there's certain things you know you have to ask that's a repeat from earlier in the week, too. But there are usually two or three questions you ask that they aren't asked during the course of the week.
You know, Steve, speaking of comments in interviews, there was one that came out today that I was a little bit disappointed in. And the BBC cycling program is the one where it came from, I understand. Lance Armstrong was asked if he would dope again if the situation was the same.
If I was racing in 2015, no, I wouldn't do it again. Because I don't think you have to do it again. If you take me back to 1995... when it was completely and totally pervasive, I'd probably do it again.
That kind of disappointed me a little bit. I would like to see him, after saying vehemently so many times that he didn't, now just, why now all of a sudden you won't do it, but yet if you go back to the time where you were cycling and did it, you do it again? I don't understand.
Does anybody out there know who he is?
No, I think there's a lot of people that know who he is. I mean, I was naturally disappointed at Lance Armstrong anyway, because I gave him the benefit of the doubt for a long time. Then he comes out and says that he did dope, and now says, no, I wouldn't do it now, but, you know, if I was back in, you know, that if I was back in the 90s again, yeah, I would do it again.
And how disappointed was I?
Well, I understand that. But you're not me.
I mean, not disappointed in the least. Didn't emotionally invest myself in it.
No, you didn't.
And
you're just here so you won't get fined.
No, but I think you learn over time not to. I don't know the guy.
Yeah, but that's a guy like that you want to root for. And then,
No, there really aren't. Unless I know the person, actually know the person where I know them, I don't.
Well, see, I understand where you're coming from, but I want to root for somebody like that. I want to root for somebody to come against, come back against the odds.
In other words, when you're doing something, say for example, when you won both awards last year, the PAB award and the AP award for best play-by-play, man, that made me happy. You want to know why? Because you're one of my best friends. Okay, so I was thrilled. That's somebody I know. I could care less what he does. I don't know him. Never met him. Never been in the same room. He doesn't disappoint me. He doesn't make me happy. You do something great. It makes me happy because I know you and I care. Okay, somebody I don't know, no. It's like I'm rooting for him. No, I'm really not. I don't know the person. Right? You did something great. I know you. That was awesome.
With Snow Goes In to your neighborhood. Who are you going to call?
Snowbusters!
And we've got the Snowbusters right here at Sunbury Motors Kia. Make tracks in an all-wheel drive 2015 Sportage LX starting at $22,389. And we have a great inventory to choose from. Or how about our blizzard-busting 2015 all-wheel drive Sereno starting at $24,983 with 0% APR financing for up to 60 months. And we've got 27 to choose from. Remember, all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty.
Come see the Snowbusters
at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf
or at sunburymotors.com.
SMC. Selling more cars, satisfying more customers for 100 years.
Tax and tags extra. All applicable Kia customer rebates apply. KMF bonus cash and financing to all qualified customers.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Coming up on Friday, Wayne Larrabee, the play-by-play voice of the Green Bay Packers. Great to have his perspective because, of course, he did the Seahawks-Packers game, but also in the final month of the season, he did the Patriots-Packers game as well. So we'll get his perspective on both teams. He also had the privilege of broadcasting Mike Krzyzewski's 1,000th career win Sunday at Madison Square Garden for Westwood One. And so he'll be on the show. Pete Jensen, NHL.com as well, coming up on Friday. So we have a few things coming up on the horizon here on the show that we are looking forward to very much. Today, we'd like to hear from you at 800-795-9565, 800-795-9565. And Kevin, disappointed that Lance Armstrong let him down.
Well, I was disappointed a while ago. I was disappointed by his comments that came out today, that if he had it to do all over again, he'd do it all over again the same way. I mean, paraphrasing, but...
Well, I think I know what he means, but that's fine.
I think I do, too. I mean, he still is of the belief that everybody was doing it, so why shouldn't I do it? We all know, you know, the rule on that. If you're a parent, how many times have you said, just because everybody else is doing it, does that mean you should do it?
His relevancy is at a very low ebb.
But at least he talked to the media. That's more than I can say for Marshawn Lynch.
Hey, I'm just here so I won't get fined.
Marshawn Lynch is not going to say anything that is going to make you... Marshawn Lynch actually has a very good story. If you actually find out more about Marshawn Lynch and his story, it could be a valuable story about... He grew up in Oakland. And growing up in Oakland is not the greatest place in America to grow up in. Athletics got him out of there, got him to the University of California, got him to the Bills, and now to Seattle. One of the reasons that he is the way he is because growing up in Oakland, you try to figure out right away who you can trust and who you don't trust. And that is actually part of his story, where it's too bad he doesn't talk, because he could tell that story, which years ago he did. And that's the tough part of this, that you don't get a chance to hear that story about growing up in an area that's not great, what athletics meant to get him out of that situation. He's been burned a few times, obviously, along the way. Michael Robinson was as close to him as anybody. Michael Robinson will tell you that one-on-one, he thinks he's a great guy.
I bet he is. I mean, but, you know, as fans, we'll never know. And maybe he doesn't care what his fan base thinks about him. Maybe he's just more concerned, instead of knowing him as Marshawn Lynch, they'd rather know him as the running back that carries the football. Maybe that's what he wants.
Well, everybody knows he's Marshawn Lynch.
No, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Maybe he'd rather be known as just the running back that carries the football. And that's all he would want his fan base to know. He doesn't want to know him as a person.
Okay. It doesn't matter to me whether he does or doesn't. You know, you can go about your game plan as to what you need to get without getting him.
I agree with you. I think it's dumb, but I agree with you. I mean, if you don't want to, if your answer is going to be the same thing for everything, it just makes you look bad. But, you know, if you don't care, then fine. I guess I don't either.
No, I'm just saying, boom, You don't care to do this?
Yeah.
I don't care to talk to you either.
That's exactly what I mean.
I really don't care.
That's exactly
what I mean. Does that play into what he wants? Yeah, it plays into what he wants. If I'm the NFL, I'm furious. If I'm the Seattle Seahawks, I'm not that happy about it.
No, I'd be upset if I was the Seattle Seahawks. I mean, that's your brand, and he's out there representing your brand and not doing it well.
Except on the field, he is.
Well, and maybe that's all that they're really worried about, too.
And I think all they care about is, you know, because this is a team that has a well-spoken Richard Sherman, has a well-spoken Earl Thomas, has a well-spoken Cam Chancellor, an extremely well-spoken Russell Wilson, Gary Gilliam. I can tell you, Gary Gilliam, with his personality, delighted the whole group when he was out there.
Which would you rather have if you're a coach, owner, fan, whatever? Would you rather have a Marshawn Lynch who doesn't want to talk to anybody about anything? Or would you rather have a Richard Sherman who is basically going to tell you exactly what's on his mind? Which would you rather have?
If they're performing at a high level, I don't really care what I have.
Now, remember, though, it's representing your brand.
Kevin.
It's all part of it.
In reality, it's what they do for the 3.5 to 4 hours on Sunday.
Now, my question is, okay, if there was an extra paycheck in it, would Marshawn Lynch say more than I'm just here so I won't get fired?
But you talk about representing the brand. Okay. I don't want criminal or drug activity outside the lines. Talking to the media, and I don't really care. That part I would not even care about. Richard Sherman's intelligent. He's thoughtful and the whole thing. He says what he says. Wouldn't bother me if he's not disparaging the organization or disparaging the coaching staff or his teammates. I'm not that worried. If he got out there today and said Tom Brady's overrated and I think the Patriots, I'd be sit back and go, hey, would I have said that? No. It's but you know what? It doesn't bother me you said it.
I'm right behind you 100% with that.
Just go out and play Sunday, okay?
I would rather have a Richard Sherman speaking to the media the way he does.
And if the other guy doesn't want to talk because he's afraid of what he's going to say or he's going to get burned by it, that's fine. I'd be looking at him and say, don't worry about it. Yeah, it's your money. It's not mine. That one's on you. That's your money. I'm not helping you with the fine.
Well, but the other side of that is, you know, even though you're the voice of Penn State football and basketball, you've made yourself, as well as other things, you make yourself available to speak at different organizations. That's almost like saying you wouldn't speak at those organizations.
But that's my choice.
I know that. I know that, and I realize that. But I'm making the comparison here where Marshawn Lynch decides not to speak to anybody. That would be, how is that different than you going out as a representative of Penn State football and basketball and not speaking to anybody as well?
Well, first of all, it's my choice, and I also handle it with complete ease.
I know that. That's all right? Not what
okay?
I'm saying.
He doesn't handle it with ease. And he's not good at it. Do I want to force him to go out there and do something he's not good at? Give the dude a uniform, let him run.
All right.
I mean, seriously, as a media person, he doesn't owe me anything. There's 100 plus people available today.
Well, part of his paycheck comes from the publicity that is generated by the media attention and the television coverage.
And his window of opportunity is going to close within 2 years in all likelihood.
Yeah, well, here's the other thing. He's not going to go into broadcasting, that's for sure.
No, but hopefully he's done something with his money. He's made some pretty good money. But he doesn't owe me as a media person anything. If they all did it, now you have a huge problem. But not everyone is made the same. And that you realize that right away. Not everybody is made the same. if you know they're not all going to do that, because you're not going to get Richard Sherman to shut up. Okay? Which is fine. You're not going to get Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's engaging, and he'll talk to you anytime about anything. Richard Sherman will talk about anything. Pete Carroll will talk to you about anything. Gary Gilliam will talk to anybody about anything. Jordan Hill's a little more shy than Gary Gilliam, but is terrific when you talk to him. There's enough other people that will talk, and there are some people that just aren't very good at it, not comfortable at it. And I got 100 people to choose from. Having him not talk is not going to make or break my day. It's just not.
Steve,
because everybody's different, and I don't care. If they only brought out one person, and he's the only person they brought out, and they wasted my time, I would be angry. When I've got 103 other options here, I'm good.
Is it true at Penn State when you're a freshman, or at one point when you were a freshman, that you basically had to take a class / seminar on how to handle media days and so forth?
What Guido D'Elia did when he was here at Penn State is that he would sit down with the players before the season and he'd talk about, look, so you weren't surprised by any of this. This is how it goes. And he would tell them how it went. Media day, the mass gatherings, a press conference, a one-on-one interview, a teleconference. That way they're not surprised by it because it's, for many of them, it's the first time they've gone through something like that. Now, they've been interviewed before as high school players. But as high school players, you don't get into a mass gathering like a media day
exactly.
Where all the linemen are together. When you get a press conference and you sit down, there's not a room full of people. I mean, you see some of these guys when they announce to everybody what school they're going to. Most of them have that deer in the headlights look as they look around at the mass gathering of television cameras and things like that. It's not easy for them.
Or they're enjoying it way too much.
Right.
I've always had a personal rule when it comes to covering high school sports. I have interviewed a few high school players before a game or more after a game than any other time because of something that happened during the game that I felt was, historic, valuable, whatever. But I'm always very cautious because at the high school level, it is so dangerous because they're not used to dealing with media. So I want to know the player really, really well, or at least have the coaches okay, because he knows the player even better than I do, on whether whether he can handle the interview process without saying something that he doesn't want to say, or she doesn't want to say, for that matter.
Well, I know when I interview someone who's young, part of my thought process is I'm trying to make it easy for them.
No, absolutely.
Right, so that's what I think of.
I mean, I've seen
I don't care about making it easy for a 30-year-old man, at all. And again, it doesn't make or break. And this is what he doesn't seem to understand, okay? And what the media people don't understand. I wouldn't even bother going over. Leave him alone. Have him go out there, sit by himself. It'll be fine. It's not punishing him in any single way. But if it's great to get him to make a comment, I'm just here because I don't want to be fined. That's fine. I mean, that's the one comment you got out of him for the day. That's terrific.
Hey, I'm just here, so I won't get fined.
But I found it interesting. For example, NBC put together its list of players and coaches that they wanted to talk to on Thursday. I would have put his name down. And to see whether or not it got rejected.
Wonder what's going to happen when they do the starting lineups. How NBC always makes the players say something about their history. Wonder what he's going to do.
Well, he may not do it. I mean, I don't pay attention to any of that stuff. Whatever. I'm from what school? I mean, it's like whatever.
Just thinking about that. That's one interview that everybody seems to do.
Not an interview. It's just a look into the camera. Marshawn Lynch, California. They may have him saying that from 3 years ago.
Archive footage. Hey, I got Randy and Sunbury.
I'm serious. Randy and Sunbury. Go ahead. Hi, Randy.
Hi, Steve. As you two were talking about Marshawn Lynch, as really handling the, or how he does not handle the media well, and he doesn't want to say the wrong thing, so he does clam up. And I tell you, Steve, you expressed how I feel about it, because I thought about this for a while. Remember the movie Apollo 13?
Yes.
I'm sorry, not Apollo 13. It was the one with Ed Harris.
Yeah, he was in Apollo 13.
I was
going to
say, he was in that one. Yeah, he was in the
He played Gene Kranz.
Gene Kranz.
He played
thank
Gene
you.
Kranz.
No, that's right. But no, he was playing John Glenn.
Oh, the right stuff.
Sure, the right stuff. Sure.
Remember when they were starting to train for that program? They were mm-hmm. into the program, and they got before the media. It was a big media day, and they were all there sitting, and all of them were very uncomfortable in front of the media. They didn't know what to say. I mean, these guys were these are training astronauts. I mean, these guys are officers in the military. They got right. heads on their shoulders, but there's only one guy that saved that day, and that was John Glenn. And
true,
you know, when I think a guy like Marshawn Lynch and how I was before even Friends, the way I didn't want to talk a lot, I was thinking mm-hmm. how shy or how uncomfortable Marshawn Lynch feels, and if he doesn't want to talk to the media, he doesn't have to talk. I mean, if he wants to pay the fine, fine. I don't have a problem with it either.
Right, I agree with you. And remember the other part of the John Glenn story, though, was that Annie Glenn stuttered. Remember
that's
that
right.
that part, and
yes.
she yeah, and they wanted to interview her, and he had to hey you she's off limits, you leave her alone. Look, my father could express himself to me and my brother and so forth, but my brother was in the Lions Club, and he wanted to be district governor in Connecticut, which he ended up winning, but it also meant he had to speak, and the first few times my father spoke in public, he was so nervous. It was just, and he took a public speaking course and the entire deal. So in this area, we're 180 of each other.
Yeah.
I didn't get this from my father. That one I will tell you.
When I was thinking of this discussion, that movie that I forgot the title of. That was right.
The right stuff.
Yeah, the right stuff. And only John Glenn really really comfortable in front of all those cameras and all those media people.
Yeah, they nicknamed him Mr. Clean Marine.
Yeah, I forgot that part, but yeah.
Right. And then all of a sudden the other star, like Gordon Cooper, really, okay, you know, he really set the tone for everybody in their ability to deal with it, but you're correct. But everybody's different. Gus Grissom was never outgoing.
No.
It just wasn't part of his personality. Everybody's different.
Yep.
And it's difficult sometimes for media people to understand that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
remember, there's a good chunk of the media there that the single most important thing about Super Bowl Media Day is that they're the ones covering it. Okay.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I enjoy the show. I missed you the other week, Kevin.
I appreciate it. I'm almost back.
It just wasn't the same without you.
Are you sure about that? And how much do I owe you for that?
I think Steve missed you too.
I doubt that highly, but I like the thought of that. Thanks, Randy. I appreciate it.
All right, fellas. Yep. Bye.
When were you gone? We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Yeah, this is not War and Peace here. This is not the great American novel being written. There's nothing today that's going to be sent that's poignant, intelligent, or something that is going to shape or change lives. It's Super Bowl Media Day. So I don't care if Marshawn Lynch talks or not.
I don't know which is better, though. The line where he says, I'm just here so I won't get fined, or from Bull Durham, happy to be here, hope I can help the ball club. Which is the better line? You remember being on the bus? Crash has given him all the lines that he should read. These are boring. When you win 30 in the show, then you can let the fungus grow on your shower slippers, and the media will call you colorful. Right now, well, you're just a slob.
Just remember, if you like somebody, they're flamboyant. If you don't like them, the word begins with an A.
Oh, good point. Very good point.
I mean, much ado about nothing. That shows you when that is the lead story, how ridiculous it is.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.
CBS News. I'm Hartley Carnes. The National Weather Service is on the defensive today for getting the storm track wrong. The head of the Weather Service, Louis Ussolini, reacted to an apology offered by government meteorologist Gary Zatkowski.